So our scripture lesson for today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16, the first 13 verses. Again, that's 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13. So I want you to hear the word of God. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." And Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And when they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy, and he had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what I haven't advertised is that today is the first Sunday of our social media sermon series. And I'm going to start with, I should have started with Facebook since Facebook is messing me up this morning. And I'm starting with Instagram, okay? And we're going to talk about a little bit about Instagram this morning and how that might relate to our scripture, okay? So those of you who end up watching this video are going to get drunk because I'm trying to move this around. So how many of you have used Instagram? Okay, what would you say Instagram is for? Pictures, maybe short videos, right? Bragging, yeah. Hashtag blessed, right? So what I know about Instagram is, one, you have to know how to hold your camera, right? You got to know how to take selfies. Right, to me, Instagram is the foremost source of selfies in the world, right? And so you have to hold your camera the right way, right? And I can get Phyllis in the background, that kind of thing. But if you don't hold it at the right angle, then your chin shows, right? Yeah, you got to have there's the filter. That's right. They have these things called filters. So let me talk a little bit about why I've chosen Instagram for this scripture, okay? So I have with me a mirror and that I have borrowed from my office. And we'll see if it'll stand up here. And if it doesn't, we're going to have a really fun time. Okay, so it doesn't. We'll stand it up against the altar. All right, so I have this really nice mirror here that I just broke. Slid out of the frame. Anyway, so what do we do with mirrors? What do you and I do with mirrors? We look at ourselves, right? Now, some people like mirrors more than others, right? Some of us really like to look at ourselves in the mirror and check our hair, all that kind of fun stuff, right? Some of us maybe end up late places because we have to get everything perfect, right? It might be the makeup, it might be the hair, right? It's not just a lady thing, it's anybody thing, right? You got to look exactly right. But I think a lot of us look at the mirror, and what we do with the mirror is we see all the things that are wrong with ourselves, right? We look in the mirror and we see all of our blemishes, right? You ever gone to a hotel, one of those fancy hotels with that mirror on the wall? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that mirror on the wall that comes out like a police light, you know? And it's got the super magnification that's like from like a science building or something like that, right? And it zooms in on your face, and your pores are like craters on the moon and all this kind of stuff, right? It's like, boy, I missed a spot when I was shaving, and it's like 30 feet long, right? I think that sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror that way, constantly walking around with a mirror that shows us all of our imperfections, that shows us the things that we've done wrong, the way that we're not good enough, right? And so I want to do a little exercise for you. So I can tell you, here's what I tend to do in the mirror. So I'll look at myself in the mirror, and I don't know if this is going to work or not. So I'll look at myself in the mirror, and I'll say, that dude is weird looking. Like, he's got one ear that doesn't, that one, now this is something that's true. I have one ear that is attached, and one that's floppy. That's not supposed to happen, okay? Not supposed to be scientifically possible. I have a lumpy nose, right? My wife convinced me that at some point it was broken, but I don't remember it, okay? I think it's genetics. It's a fine Roman nose. But even it's lumpy on one side and not on the other, okay? I have big, goofy feet. My head is lumpy, okay? And then on top of all that, right, you can look at all those other things. I never got as tall as I wanted to be. Anybody else in that framework, right? Always wanted to be 6 feet tall. Just wanted to be 6 feet tall. I got 5'11 and like a half, okay? So maybe if I go to the chiropractor, I could touch 6 feet for like 3 seconds, right? But I never got there. I always wanted to be tall. Never got to be tall. Wanted to be really handsome and all that, never got that, right? None of that stuff. And so when I look at myself in the mirror, I see all those things that aren't good enough, right? Does anybody else do that? And then we get on Instagram. And on Instagram, those of you who don't use it, Instagram is a place of lies. Nobody looks like they look on Instagram, okay? Like, if you get on that, just try it out sometime. Get on Instagram and watch a couple videos. You're going to think, my goodness, everybody is a movie star, right? They've got the perfect duck lips and all that kind of stuff, and there's not a blemish to be found. And their houses, oh my goodness, their houses, right? They're clean and decorated, right? If this was a real Instagram video and we were at the church, what I would have done was I would have had to hire like professional cleaners to come in, and everything would have to be spotless, right? The lights, there wouldn't be a single light that wasn't replaced, right? And everything would be perfect. We'd have background music playing, right? And the preacher wouldn't be me, it'd be somebody else. Somebody who looks the part and is going to do everything right. Right? And we'd have, this camera wouldn't be in my hand, this camera would be on a dolly, right? One of those things that it can't wobble and wiggle, right? Everything has to be perfect. It's curated and it's planned, because there are people who get on Instagram and they do what's called influencing. Does anybody know what an influencer is? Okay. An influencer is somebody who, as you might guess by the name, is supposed to influence you into spending your money a certain way, right? And what they do is, an influencer finds a shtick. Something that's interesting. It could be there's a little kid that opens presents, right? There's people who travel all over the world and they take really fancy pictures in really exotic locations. And they say, oh, look, I have a Monster Energy drink with me, or something like that, right? Other companies will pay them to get on their little Instagram thing so that they think other people will buy their product. And so it behooves the people who are influencers to make sure that everything that they do looks perfect, right? It has to be 100% perfect, not a hair out of place, right? Any of those influencers, do any of them have cellulite? No. They don't have a lip hair, right? They don't have one weird earlobe and one normal earlobe or anything like that, right? They are beautiful and perfect. And everything that they do happens at the right time and in the right place, and it's always sunny, and right? And the danger of something like that is that what we start to think is, how come they can do that and I can't, right? Have you ever looked at somebody in your neighborhood or in the church or in your circle of friends and you say, they just seem to have it all together. Everything goes so well for them. How come I go home and there's toys scattered all over the floor, right? Or I go home and I'm thinking, or I go to work and I'm thinking, gosh, why are they even keeping me here? And they go to work and they're getting to hang out on the beach in Mallorca and everything's great, right? How come they get to do that and I don't? What we miss when we do this thing, I'm having to switch hands because my arm is getting tired. What we miss in those kind of videos and in that stuff on Instagram is all the preparation and all the time that went into making that happen, right? That effortless looking, lounging by the pool picture took 45 minutes to set up, right? And they spent all day to get three pictures and one video, and they didn't get to enjoy the place that they went because they were trying to get the perfect shot. How often do we fall into that trap? Whether it's on our social media, we got to have the perfect picture from vacation, right? Or else we weren't really there, right? Pictures or it didn't happen. We got to be there. We got to show, oh, it's got to be so clever. And if the kid blinks, then we're mad, right? And we look at that and we do it with our appearances. And I think that we it's tempting to say, hey, only because of social media are we like this. But that's not true, right? Listen to the story that we had this morning, right? King David is being chosen. And Samuel comes and he says, God tells him, go and pick out the kid, right? I'm going to tell you which one is the new king. And he sees the first one. He's like, this is the guy, right? What do you think he looked like? Huh?
Handsome, strong, broad-shouldered, right?
Looked like a football player, right? Like, my wife says this about NFL football players. She'll watch the games with me, and she says, that guy looks like a quarterback, right? And what she means is, he's handsome, right? It's not enough that you have to throw the ball 75 yards and it land on a target, right? And take hits from 300-pound dudes, right? No, you got to be cute, too, right? And for older ladies, or for some of y'all, it might have been Terry Bradshaw or Joe Montana or somebody like that. But they couldn't just be good at what they do. They had to be cute, too. Right? And she'll look at, like, I think it's Joe Burrow from Cincinnati. She's like, he doesn't look like a quarterback. I'm like, why does he not look like a quarterback? Well, he's just not. I'm like, he's not handsome enough. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Oh, it's because he looks like a kid. Oh, well, he's supposed to be somehow also old looking, or, you know, mature looking. He's like 20. Okay, give him a break, right? But we do this with everything, right? You have to have a certain look. And that if you have that look, then things are easier, right? Maybe you've been one of those people at a point in your life, right? Where you had the certain appearance to where you could get in any door, right? Or it could open opportunities for you in the workplace. Happens for, right? It's foolish to pretend that these things don't still happen, right? Think about somebody, a younger white dude like myself. It's easier to get positions, isn't it? How about if I was, you know, 70? That'd make a difference, right? How about if I was a lady? Would make a difference too, right? It's foolish to pretend that we don't look at appearances, because we do. And it's not always a bad thing, but oftentimes we get so wrapped up in how somebody looks that we forget that God doesn't choose us based on how we look. Think about, for example, the disciples, right? Does it ever tell us a bit about what the disciples looked like? Can you tell me what Peter's hair color was? No? Was he tall? Was he short? How about Judas? Did they tell us he was ugly? No. In fact, there's no physical descriptions of them at all. Why? I think because it wasn't important. Because Jesus didn't walk down by the Sea of Galilee, see guys fishing and say, not that one, not that one. He looks like a model. Let's pick him. Andrew. Let's get that guy, right? Because he's the best looking of the bunch. He could work at Abercrombie. That's the guy we want, right? No, Jesus picked them because he felt something, saw something in their heart, in their soul, that they could be followers of his, right? That's what Jesus saw. And that when Jesus looks at you and at me, Jesus doesn't see us like we do in the mirror. Jesus doesn't see the double chin. Or if Jesus does, he doesn't care, right? There's an old quote. It's often attributed to Dr. Seuss, and I'm not 100% sure if it is or not, okay? But it goes like this. Those who matter don't mind, and those who mind don't matter. Right? There are a lot of people out there who are going to still, in the year of our Lord 2021, make their decisions based on your waist size, or how what color your hair is, or how many wrinkle lines you've got when you smile. There are going to be people who make decisions based on how much melanin you've got in your skin, right? Or where you came from, where your ancestors came from. Now, we know in our hearts that that's silly. Not just silly, but it's wrong-headed, and it's contrary to the gospel of Christ, right? The image of the throne room in Revelation, right? Who's there in that throne room? Is it just Americans? Is it just Jews? Is it just white people? Is it just young people? Is it just anything? No, it's people from all ages and nations and creeds and races all over the world, right? Singing holy, holy, holy blessings to the Lamb, right? All those people together looking all different. Some skinny, some big, some young, some old, and all united in Christ. Just like David, who was a kid and was the last one you would choose, right? His dad didn't even bring him to the ceremony. He got stuck not just at the kids' table, but out taking care of the chores. King David was the one chosen for what was in his heart. And it's the same way with us. Thank God that Jesus doesn't check our Instagram account in order for us to be chosen by him. In fact, we believe as Methodists that in this thing called prevenient grace, right? Like Anna was talking about a couple weeks ago. That Jesus sought us out and was preparing life for us before we ever knew what a filter was, before we ever figured out how to hold the phone right. And I still don't know how to do it. You can tell by this. Like, take a look at the video when I post it and you'll know. Like, it's looking up my nose and stuff like that. Jesus loves us before we have a chance to make ourselves worthy. Amen. And that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Now, what can we do about that? One, we can stop worrying about it. You don't have to be perfect to be loved. You don't have to be perfect to be loved by Christ. You don't have to be perfect to be loved by your husband, your wife, your kids, your friends. You don't have to look a certain way in order to be a beloved child of God. In fact, all this stuff, it's temporary, right? Some of us know that way more better than others, right? If we've had health struggles recently. All this stuff fails eventually. But the love that Christ has shown us is eternal. We don't have to worry that we have to look a certain way in order for Christ to love us. And then, what else can we do? Remember that the people around us are all just as messed up and just as struggling as we are. Some people just have time to spend all that time to make themselves look better, right? Everybody, when they bring out that big old mirror and it gets right up in their face, right? Everybody has those pores. Just some of us have better makeup. Some of us have people to work on it and make us look good. We don't have to worry about being good enough for Christ, because Christ is good enough for all of us. We are loved. You are loved. And all we have to do is love others the same way. Not concerned with what they look like, not concerned with any of that stuff, the stuff the world tells us is important, but instead ready to see their heart and to see their soul and to be ready to love in the name of Christ. So I'm not asking you to completely throw your mirrors away or your Instagram, but don't let it control you. Don't let it make you feel worse than you are. Be ready always to love others as Christ has so generously loved us, messed up ears and all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.